It was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have ever ridden out a flood at JCPenney's, except a flood of savings. Today's title is Stranded at JCPenney's, Stories from the 37 Flood. I'm your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, and with me is the man who always says that pregnant pauses give birth to low speech grades. He is an Associate Professor of Communication at WKCTC, Jason Donner.
Every time something you say has just got a little risque element to it.
Well, pregnant pauses. Well, you can't have those in a speech, right?
Yeah, of course. Yes. Sure.
Exactly. And with us today is a very, very special guest, a man who once committed himself to memorizing the Dewey Decimal System until he realized that computers already do that. He comes to us today from the McCracken County Public Library and from about 46 different bands, Nathan Lynn.
Thank you. Those are true statements, yes.
All right. And you've got a lot of stuff going on at the library right now, don't you?
We do. We have all kinds of great programs, all kinds of great information for the folks to come visit us and learn. You can check that out at mclib.net, and you can learn more about what we have going on with our services.
And access.
We are there to provide access programs and resources.
Excellent.
And some reading.
Lots of reading material there, yeah. And watching and listening.
Is it still quiet in the library like people used to think?
We have the quiet reading room for those who need that extra silence in their library experience.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But it's not that, like, strict, I guess.
No. We are
so
welcoming.
Some
whispering goes on.
There is some whispering.
Okay.
So good times to be had.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on down.
McLib.
Most importantly, access at the library.
That's right.
And that's where you will find it. In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, we will hear some criticism of our most recent episode. Or, I don't know, it could be something good. We'll have to see. And in the main event, we'll examine the greatest flood in recent memory. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. The products are real. The sponsorship is fake.
Are you getting married? Get the right start in marriage. Keep out of debt. Pay for everything you buy. A personal loan at the Friendly Farmers Bank will give you the cash you need for setting up housekeeping. Farmers and Depositors Bank. St. Matthews, Kentucky. Member FDIC.
This makes no sense at all.
No, you're going to take out a loan to keep out of debt?
Yeah.
What's that
about?
You got
to really be listening to that part.
That is some slick advertising.
Right. I'm going to get married. No debt. I'm going to start this out right with a loan from the farmers and the depositors. Yeah.
I think we would call that predatory lending today.
Yeah. It's out there.
We've come a long way.
Yeah, maybe we have. I don't know. Maybe it's still that slick, but we just don't notice.
It's on the internet now. And
you just reply and get it, and then no questions asked.
Maybe this is like on the, like, kind of a secretive loan that you took out. She didn't know about.
That might be
maybe
the case,
that's
right?
What it was.
She wouldn't have to worry her pretty little head about a thing, would she, if you had this thing from the Farmers Depositors Bank?
Yeah.
I think you're 100% correct. So we've paid a few bills there with that ad, and now it's time to pay the piper because I hear we got another one of those voicemails.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I admire y'all for taking this on.
Good, especially the voicemails, right?
Hey, positive proof that somebody's listening is fantastic.
And here's the proof.
Thanks for calling Old Kentucky Tales. For English, press 1.
Para español, marque 2 ahora.
For old-timely Kentucky talk, dial 3 on your rotary phone right now, y'all.
Your call is important to us. All of our historians, speech critiquers, and producers are currently unavailable. If you know your party's four-digit extension number, you may dial now. For all other inquiries and comments, stay on the line and leave a message after the tone.
Hello. I am weaving a message to tell you that hunting raccoons is a perfectly respectable recreation. There was not one itty-bitty waffable part of it, and I resent the very idea that great sportsmen can't participate without derision from ridiculous radio personalities. I won't be listening to any more of your whittle commentaries. Good riddance to bad rubbish.
Okay, Brent.
Yes, Jason?
Yes. You're not fooling anybody.
What?
Was that FUD? That was the FUD.
Nope, it says a sportsman reacts.
Okay.
It doesn't
I
say
know.
Anything about any copyrighted so material.
I know. Copyrighted material. Do you know what this means when I say this? I am Elmer J. FUD, millionaire. I owned a mansion and a yacht. You know what that means? Todd does, yeah. If you know what that is, call in. Yeah.
It's just and leave a message on Instagram.
Yeah, right? For real, yeah. Because that was from a real episode. That's what I think of for FUD.
Yeah, for sure. But we've got to be careful about offending too many Kentucky sensibilities, though. I mean, isn't that the point of the whole thing?
Uh-huh.
Hey.
Or not?
You mean
what?
He's right. Raccoon hunting is a perfectly admirable sport. Look at here in West McCracken County. We have the...
What
West
do we
Paducah,
have?
West Paducah Raccoon Club.
We do?
Yes.
And what do they do?
They get together and chase raccoons with dogs.
Have you ever seen a raccoon, though? They're so cute.
Until they're cornered. I think you're exactly right about that.
They have thumbs.
Yeah, they do.
Are and claws. The ones
they'll, like, clean claws. Their food.
Yeah.
They'll clean their food in the water.
Sure.
Yeah, I've seen them do that. Kind of
they
shake
ought
it
to
off
die.
Get the dogs, boys.
Yeah.
And now to save the program from cancellation, the moment we've all been waiting for.
The main event.
Round one.
Here we are with Nathan Lynn, and he has got lots of exciting information about the Paducah flood and what the McCracken County Library is doing to digitize things from the flood. And let's just start with the story of where did this collection come from?
Yes, so on our digital collections page, that is available through mclib.net. That's
access.
Right. Mclib.
Yeah.
.net. You can access the Deanne Mae Stewart 1937 flood collection. And Miss Stewart contacted us about 4 years ago, and she had grown up in Lower Town and lived in the Madison Apartments, I believe. Her father worked as the manager of International Shoe Company here in Paducah. Check those soles and see if they were made there. And she had a collection of photographs that her dad had taken during the 37 flood, and she was looking for a home for those photographs, and we were very excited. She actually visited Paducah and spent a week here and donated this collection of photos to the library, and we have since digitized those and made them available on our website. Access, access, access.
So they're out there now. They could look them up.
Yes.
And, like, how many are there?
I think there are maybe 80 of those photos there. Also on our digital collections, in our digital collections, you can access oral histories. There's multiple oral histories provided through the Kentucky Oral History Commission and Western Kentucky University of people talking about their experiences in the 37 flood. You know, the 37 flood is interesting because if you lived through that, it was a defining moment in your life. Like, oh, that happened before the flood.
Yeah. Like the Kennedy assassination or 9/11. It's one of those memorable moments.
Exactly.
That
everybody has. So in my life, I remember that we digitized these photographs after the 37 flood.
Yeah.
Makes
exactly
perfect
right.
sense. That's your defining moment.
Yeah. That,
got our hands
I think
on
the
these.
Math adds up on that one for sure. And speaking of math.
Oh, math. You got to do a math problem?
Yeah. You've got a whole bunch of statistics about the flood,
right?
Because people need to know what they're going to be seeing if they go and see these photos.
Yeah.
So what kind of thing was the flood?
So
I think it was water, Brent.
Big
it
water.
It was a lot of water.
Unlike the flood of tears from the folks at home cringing listening to this show.
Oh.
Yeah.
No,
so what kind of stats do you have?
Yeah, we have...
Nathan, get out.
I'm out. See you later.
Pulling the plug.
You have to think about what took place to make such a dramatic flood. You had 17 and a half inches of rainfall continuously for 16 days in January of 37. That is a lot of rain. And then by February 2nd of 37, you had the river cresting at 60.8 feet, and it held there for 22 hours. To put that into perspective, at 4th and Broadway in Paducah, the water was 8 foot high. So if you picture the clock on the Citizens Bank building, which you can see on our website and our digital collection, the water was almost up to that clock sets there.
Now, this is like an obvious question, but there was no wall, hence the flood.
Exactly.
And later the wall.
Yeah, the flood wall is a reaction to things like the 37 flood.
Yeah, so surely they knew that. I mean, anytime you on a river have heavy rain, they can anticipate. This is just particularly bad flooding.
Yeah, it's more like a once in a century kind of flood. That's 100% right.
Definitely. And you had had other floods in the past. I believe 1884, maybe, there was a flood that got 50-something foot.
Okay.
And then in 1913, you had a really bad flood. But we have pictures of the 1913 flood available on our digital collection as well. And it appears that the people are recreation. They're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing. They're fishing
by
the Carnegie Library. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're like waiting.
It's like they're in Venice
for
a little bit.
A little bit.
In Paducah?
In Kentucky.
Yeah.
Bigger mosquitoes probably. But
so how many people died on this thing? I mean, did it kill some people?
It did kill a number of people. I mean, you had... I think some 30,000 people being evacuated out of the city by the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Cross set up stations near what today we call Arcadia, I guess, close to Kyler Park. That was where people were boated to and then got off Kyler Park.
And one thing, too, about this flood, while you were mentioning a few numbers— you'd be surprised how far inland it went. You could be way up about 26th Street or so and still see water there.
Yes, and there's a marker there today on Jefferson. It's actually the eagle off of either the post office or City Hall that they put there to mark where the flood water went to. If you drive down Jefferson and Paducah, you can see that.
So long, like
way inside Paducah.
I know that's what when he was talking about it, or where the Red Cross was, I thought, man, how far up did that really go? So that was kind of a neat point. You think of the downtown being flooded, but maybe not the full extent of all those homes and people that would have lived a little bit uptown, what they'd call it at the time.
Oh, yeah. We had evacuations and refugees. And
I
mean, refugees had to go to Mayfield and Murray. A lot of displacement.
Obviously a national story, too, at the time.
Oh, yeah.
You see a new city pop up where we're talking about in the Arcadia area, which now is a very thriving area. The story is that Luther Carson moved his Coca-Cola plant after the 37 flood to dry ground, and that's why you have hence the name of that brewery there now.
The circle has been completed.
Mind blown.
Well, yes. I mean, that happens when something like this happens to any other city. It alters the face of the city or where people live or where people, I'm sure at that time, were comfortable living. They're like, heck with this. I don't want to even go back down there.
Right. And if that's true, then that's the perfect location for the Coke plant because you would be just out of reach of the worst possible flood that could ever come.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really, it's scary to think about influenza. It was freezing cold during this time too, you know, it's not
It's wintertime.
It's right, cold. Yeah. You've got people sick. The sanitation issues,
right.
Drinking water. They had to bring in drinking water. Mm-hmm. No electricity. We had bodies. Speedy.
Oh, yeah. Speedy is an important character for this, I think. It was a real person, and he died in the flood.
Speedy actually had died fishing.
Uh-huh.
A number of years before, but
that's what people think commonly, though, that he did drown in the flood.
And,
but he actually just...
Re-emerged.
I hate to say, just kind of floated away.
He did.
Yeah.
And he was returned to the hammocks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That person, Speedy, was actually, you could go see him even up to the 90s. I can remember they decided that he was preserved in a way. First of all, Speedy was preserved in a way that nobody could ever figure out how he did that. But
the Egyptians
correct.
Had nothing
some
on
people
Speedy.
May not
Mr.
Hammock
knew the secret.
Yeah, and this was a real person who had died, but he preserved him. And then in the 90s, I can remember this specifically because I worked at the Paducah Sun at the time, and they decided we need to bury Speedy, you know, that he should be respected in that way and in the ground, you know, and have a proper burial. But you could still go see him. So several of us, as a lot of people did on their lunch break, went to that funeral home. They very kindly let you in the door, and he was kind of in a closet there, and you could see it. And it was, you know, it was something. But I remember that, too. He was national news. Sometimes he was on, like, I think a show called That's Incredible, if you remember that show.
Mm-hmm.
Brent doesn't know what I'm talking about. Brent's just like a sprig of
18. I've never seen that show in my life.
Right, yeah, but it was like a kind of a reality, like cool stuff kind of show, and he was featured on that as well. But yeah, big part of that flood.
He was, and they laid him to rest in 94, I believe.
Yeah,
Speedy
that was
Atkins, rest in peace.
Yeah,
you can learn more about that from listening to the legendary Shack Shakers, the Ballad of Speedy.
Oh, okay,
Atkins. Yeah,
is that right?
They've preserved him in song.
So I'm telling you things that you've already captured in a song.
No, that was great. You did great. No.
Well, it was interesting that I became a part of it because these people said, hey, let's go see Speedy. They're going to bury him.
But Jason, please tell me that when you went on your lunch break, you paid your last respects. Please tell me that the last thing you said on the way out was, Godspeed.
No, I did not. I bet it got said a lot, though. I bet it got said a lot, yeah.
It probably did.
Yeah. Man likes his puns, Nathan.
Hey,
he cannot stop.
That's what makes this show.
Yeah,
it really
you've been
is.
Listening.
I have,
built on a foundation of puns. Boy, that's a shaky foundation.
Yeah.
If I've ever heard of one. And you know what we have here? We've got a visual tour.
Okay.
Of the 37 flood that people can imagine.
They can just think about it.
Close your eyes,
right?
So we start with an aerial view of Paducah.
Okay.
And Nathan, what do you see?
A lot of tops of houses.
That's and nothing but the tops of
nothing
houses.
Nothing but the tops of houses, some trees, and downed electric poles. It's very haunting.
Yeah, that would not be a pleasant sight if you came home to that.
And right. And this is during the crest, so this is in,
so 60 feet.
Yeah, and I think it crests February the 2nd.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
A lot of water to take in. You had like 7/8 of the city covered in water. It's a good statistic, huh? You like that?
That's a very good statistic.
I'm going to put that on Fred Newman, who worked for the Paducah News Democrat or Sun at the time. Credit him with that stat.
Nice. Only 1/8 remained.
Only 1/8.
That's true. So if we dive into our handy dandy packet here a little bit, we see that we've got water way up in the streets. We expected to talk about that.
Yes,
obviously.
The water. Uh-huh.
But what about the
5-cent hamburger?
Now that
Keep
is
going.
A great
That's not
side
relevant.
Story right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to do an episode on inflation.
Okay.
because there you is could, a story there for
well,
sure.
Well, you right. could use some sort of inflation to get through this flood. Definitely. Inflated device.
Now that's the pun of the episode.
Uh-huh.
Leave it to the guests to come up with one.
Now you see here City Hall. We can see City Hall is underwater, and City Hall was actually torn down after that, and we have the new city hall that we have today that was just been preserved, that was built by Edward Durrell Stone. So that the city hall and the clock tower did not stand much longer after the flood.
Wow, so the flood took that out. I did not know that.
It took a number of buildings. It took the post office.
Well, the damage was so great that, you know, it just made no sense to keep it, or you destroy it and start all over.
Mold.
Right.
Mold is a...
Oh, yeah, that's the killer. So we then see a boat pulled up to the second story of a house.
Yeah, now that's going to happen.
There's a lot of rescue stories like this in the flood.
Right, yeah. You're going to go and just say, get in the boat.
Beside Oeschlager's drugstore grocery. And I don't know, do we have a picture of the stranded cow?
We don't have the picture of it, but that's another famous.
That's another famous, and that picture appeared in National Geographic of that year, and is pretty famous. And you have a lot of these stranded people who are just needing help. You know, you think you can wait this out on the second floor until you run out of Coca-Cola and bread,
right?
And then you're sweating.
Yeah, then right, exactly. Yeah.
And there's a lot of stories of people helping people too. Grocers making food available for free.
Yes, it's amazing how something like that can bring a community together.
Yeah, yeah, it most certainly did that. And if we see the next image here, rescue work at 28th and Broadway. And this, if you pay close attention, there's still water there.
Yeah, there's some water. It looks like they are not so much rescuing as they are recovering a dead body.
Yeah, and this is close to Kyler Park, I believe, where we were talking about a little up from there. So they had a number of barges lined up where people could exit the area and then travel to their family's house in Mayfield. You've also got to remember that we're talking about just Paducah. This flood in the county, in West McCracken County, you have the same thing going on farmland. People who, you know, were living on a farm and had to evacuate. There's a good friend of mine, Roy Duncan. He talks about exiting in West McCracken County, and they had to walk the railroad track. But to get there, they had to get on a boat, and they had their cow tied behind them, and he was given a stick and said, "You hit that cow, don't let her get her hooves in the boat or we will flip."
Right.
And so he was beating his cow trying to get to higher ground.
Well, yeah, there's so many amazing stories. This next image is one of my favorites. It is Broadway and 9th, and I like this one because it seems still quite familiar in 2018.
Where are you looking at? Which one?
Yeah, you can see the steeple of Grace Episcopal Church.
Yeah, it looks, you're right. It could just be a black and white image of today.
And you can see Broadway United Methodist. You can actually see the Temple Israel, which is no longer there over the tree line, and Paducah Junior College over to the left there on that picture.
PJC.
Wow, man.
Access.
He's done his research.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You can see this today, you know, if you held this up.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very familiar, unlike some of the images because of the changes over time. But as we look through, if we actually skip one, we get to the clock picture that you were mentioning earlier.
Yes.
And that's an amazing, amazing shot because we have a boat just about to ram into the clock on the side of the building.
Yeah.
You have boats coming up Broadway. It's
that's a big boat too. This isn't a John boat.
You know, it's interesting to think next time you drive down Broadway that you would have been completely submerged. Your whole vehicle would be underwater,
right?
If you were driving down through there at the time.
Well, you talked about JCPenney at the beginning of this thing,
right? And here we are coming full circle again,
right? There's a guy hanging out the window there at the top of the. Well, I guess the top, it's not really even a window. It's just an opening, I'm sure, waiting for help.
Yeah, at JCPenney. It looks like he's kind of up there on the second floor.
Just came to get some shoes.
Yeah.
And next thing I knew,
the JCPenney company.
Stranded.
Was that a mandatory evacuation or just voluntary? I'm not sure.
Yeah, what's he still doing there?
That's a great question.
I think. I think people are timid to leave their homes and their belongings.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, that's tough on a family.
And
a
problem with this, too, a lot of disasters that you have experienced the same kind of thing, and it didn't go so bad. So you just, you know, you can't believe that it's really happening.
We wrote it out in 13.
Right.
Why not write it out in 37?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. It just like, it's never happened, so I'm going to stay until it gets the worst.
There's a great book by Pat Taylor, 37 Refugees, and it's about her experience as a child. And she talks about that very thing that her father's asking, well, what was 13? It wasn't that bad. Surely we'll be okay. And then right. It hits one morning, and he's like, we got to get groceries. We got to get out of here. You know,
yeah.
Stressful situation.
Yeah, and you're evacuating and or deciding like,
split second.
What
decision.
Am I going to do? Yeah, what do
you
do?
Leave?
What do I take? How
and
quickly?
Then, what am I going to return to?
Yeah. Right. What am I going to come back to? Yeah.
That's all true. And another true fact, sad but true, is that we have to pay some bills.
Mm. Oh, it's over?
No, it's not over. We've got a whole other sponsor here.
Oh, okay. Good.
They'll start backing out if we don't treat them right, you know. Mothers, don't punish your children, but go to your druggist or merchant and get a bottle of Will's World Worm Candy. The most efficient worm medicine made. It is put up in delightfully flavored sticks of candy, and the little ones love to take it. Nathan, would you like to field this one?
Yeah, Nathan, you do this one.
It sounds enticing. I'll try some.
What is that?
Well, you don't have a worm problem, though, do you?
Not yet, it's because I've been taking my candy.
Good, right. Says, mothers don't punish your children. What does that mean? What did they used to do, or what was the alternative to the candy?
I bet they were home remedies.
Yeah.
And home remedies
brutal.
Were not Taste nice, bad. And they probably didn't work.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will work either, because this is an 1884 ad.
Oh, man.
I mean, the other question is, a bottle? You get a bottle of candy? I don't know exactly what kind of candy this is they're speaking of, but...
That's a good point. Like...
How good could it really taste, too? It looks good in the picture.
Did you say most efficient?
It is the most efficient. So the worms will be sliding right
man.
Out. No time at all.
This you like to end on these kinds of things. This happens to people, by the way.
Worms, yep.
I thought this was exclusively a dog-type activity.
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh.
Check yourself.
Yeah.
Before you Will's worm candy yourself.
Yeah.
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 We need some oral history on taking the worm candy.
There might be some out there.
They probably have blocked it out.
You could search that at mclib.net. If you can't find it there, come see us at the McCracken County Public Library, and we'll help you find that.
Oh, good.
Exactly right. But this is the moment for Jason's takeaway. What is the biggest thing that you discovered on your flood journey today?
I think that... We need a little piece of audio for this, by the way. This is becoming a thing.
We do.
Why don't I have my own audio?
We should create that.
Okay. Hmm.
Season 4, look
I'll
out.
I'll let you do that. Okay. My takeaway. Well, the biggest impression here with Nathan just talking about this is, like, these things happen to people. And it changes the community, bonds the community, affects the layout of the land even. And it's just going to continue to happen. It's happened before that. And like the problem is, and it's great that you guys are recording this in these oral histories, because these people that experienced it, they are going away. You know, people are dying off. So we're losing that real history of somebody who's actually been there. So I think it's like important to talk about these things and to just kind of go learn about it.
Isn't he good at those takeaways, Nathan?
That was good.
That is so thoughtful.
Did you stay up late last night working on that?
No, I didn't. I had no idea what was going to happen. Yeah.
You have a future in this.
Let me say, too, about the raccoons. Can I just say?
You had a second
takeaway?
If you
want to shoot a raccoon or a chipmunk or a squirrel or any other small rodents, I think that you should be able to do that.
Well,
that's how I feel about it.
Takeaway, well made, then.
Go for it.
We have now turned to the final page of this chapter, but never fear. Nathan, you're not scared, are you?
I've never been scared in my life.
Okay. Never fear. Except for that one time. Old Kentucky Tales never fails to return.
He wanted to take the worm candy. He has no fear.
That's true. He wasn't just whistling Dixie. You can download even more episodes on iTunes or the NPR One app. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or rate us. If you did not like what you heard, there is no way you made it to minute 28 of this. Special thanks to our producer, Todd Birdsong, our guest, Nathan Lynn, the Paducah School of Art and Design, the McCracken County Library, and WKMS, and the rest is history.